live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly in-depth look at topics related to the COVID-19 pandemic. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on again this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, we wanted to ask about the vaccination event on Saturday and see how well that went out at the Douglas County Fairgrounds.
Well, that went great. So that was an event at the fairgrounds. We were giving Pfizer vaccine for everybody 12 and above. We had over 550. We're coming down with the final numbers now, but over 550, including about 100 kids between 12 and 15.
And obviously, a lot of folks probably have been thinking about getting vaccinated, hadn't yet. Did you run into any people that were out there that, you know, previously had said, no, I'm not going to do this, but have since changed their mind?
Yes. So we found some people have changed their mind. Actually, the biggest group this weekend were people who were trying to get around to it, but just hadn't gotten around to it. And this was a convenient and easy way for them to get their vaccine.
And a lot of different organizations working together on this. Do you have another one of these planned a few weeks up the road?
We do. So our next one is going to be June the 5th, and we're going to go every 3 weeks until everybody who wants a vaccine gets one.
And of course, later on, information will be coming out about getting signed up or what the protocols are going to be at that point for showing up at the event. For people that are still either on the fence or on the no side of the fence for being vaccinated, talk about the hesitancy, some of the things you're hearing about, maybe how you would counter those.
Right. So the biggest group we're seeing right now are people who just haven't gotten around to it yet. For those who are saying there's lots of different ways to get it, it's time to do it. We know with most medical things, people delay a little bit. So when you turn 50, you're supposed to get a colonoscopy, but almost everybody waits a year or two until they kind of get around to it. We all sort of kind of get around to doing our dental visits. And so this is one of the things that we want people to get around to sooner rather than later. Then there's another group of people who just don't want to get the vaccine for deep-seated reasons. We don't think we're going to convince them. But then there's another group of people who are nervous about the side effects. We've been doing these now for 6 months. The six-month data is in. They're just as safe and just as effective as they looked in the beginning. So for people who didn't want to be first or wanted to wait until a little more data is in, the data is in.
And taking a look at the CDC guidance for vaccinated people, that came out late last week. Go over what you can tell from that so far.
Well, that data suggested that people who are fully vaccinated are very well protected and probably do not need to use masks except in unusual circumstances. And that goes along with the data. We do know that people who are vaccinated are very well protected. So, for example, in the last week, not a single case was in somebody who was vaccinated. So the people who were vaccinated in Douglas County seem to have 100% protection, probably not that high overall, but very, very high levels of protection. So if you're vaccinated, you've got really good protection, and you probably do not need to use a mask.
It seems like the CDC announcement really caught a lot of other levels of government off guard, and the CDC and OHA both have got different guidance that they are working on to come out in coming days. Did this get handled a little, maybe not perfectly?
So usually the CDC gives us a few days or a week or so of the data that they're likely to come up with. This did come as a little bit of a surprise, but I think the state will come up with reasonable guidelines. And again, the guidelines really can be pretty simple. If you're vaccinated, you only need to wear your mask if you're in one of those high-risk situations. If you're not vaccinated, you should continue to do so.
Now, Oregon apparently looking at vaccine passports, and I know in public health there's a variety of thoughts on both sides of that idea.
Right. So vaccine passports would be a way for somebody to show their vaccine status. We've used vaccine passports for many years. For example, if you need to travel to a place where there's yellow fever, you need to have a vaccine passport that shows that you've had your yellow fever vaccine. This would be different for COVID because it would be so many more people, and it wouldn't be for international travel, but for doing things within the state. I don't know what the state is going to do. New York has done a vaccine passport. It's actually been incredibly effective. They had somewhat of a rocky start, but now your vaccine status and your testing status is in your phone, and so you can just show your phone to somebody, and they can know what your vaccine status is. It's been very effective in New York. I'm not sure if we're going to do that in Oregon.
Now, CDC, in the past couple of days since their initial comments came out, some of the CDC, if I can get that out, I've said that masks may come back as being used more frequently come fall or winter. Why might that be?
So the use of masks is related to the level of background disease. In the U.S., we have a relatively low level of background disease now, but let's say something would happen like the variant from India would get to the U.S., and you'd have a big outbreak in a town somewhere, it then may make sense to wear masks for that. But I think at this point, with a lot of people vaccinated and with relatively low levels of disease, I think it's fine for vaccinated people not to use masks.
Now, I know that there are going to be a number of other vaccination opportunities this week from the Tiger team, Aviva's new site, and lots of other opportunities.
Yeah, there's plenty of ways to get vaccine. There's plenty of vaccine around. And so anybody who's been sort of delaying their colonoscopy should no longer delay their vaccine and just go get it. So this weekend, I talked to a bunch of friends and said, hey, you've got your vaccine yet? And I was, oh, and got around to it. Come on out to the fairgrounds and we'll do it today. And I think they were all glad they could.
For the number of local cases, the new number is just out for today, 12 cases, 14 people in the hospitalized. It seems like even with more people vaccinated, our numbers are not dropping right now.
Well, yes. So our numbers are not dropping as we wish they would. So we have about half of our eligible population partially vaccinated, only about a third fully vaccinated. And so the disease is around. There's still, that means half of the population is out there that could get the disease, and they're getting the disease. So there really is disease around, and that's why we're encouraging everybody to get vaccinated. In addition, we're starting to see less cases among kids 11 and below who could not be vaccinated. And almost all of our hospitalizations are in people who are younger and unvaccinated.
And what's driving the local cases?
Well, the local cases seem to be workplaces, social gatherings, school activities seem to be the drivers as they've been all along. Again, once this disease gets into a workplace and there are people who are unvaccinated, it picks them off. So, for example, we had one social gathering where we had 9 cases of disease. It turned out that almost everybody who was unvaccinated got it. Everybody who was vaccinated did not get it. So, again, the vaccines work, but with so many people out there who are unvaccinated, there's a lot of people yet to get the disease.
It seems like it has moved to younger age groups more in recent weeks. Is there a particular reason why that's been happening versus way back at the start of all this?
Mm-hmm. Well, we think there are two reasons. The first is the seniors have been protected because many of our seniors have been vaccinated, so they're just not getting the disease because they're vaccinated. The second is we know that the variants have arrived. The variant that's most typical in Oregon is the B.1.1.7 or the UK variant. And the UK variant has shown in the places where it's going around that it seems to be more contagious, especially among young people.
Now, with the younger people getting it, will there be a shift, or should there be, I don't know what's involved in terms of the why age 12 is the low end of where vaccinations stop right now. Maybe you could address that.
Well, the way it works is you have to do the study, and then you have to have the study reviewed, and if the study shows that it's safe and effective in a certain age group, the age group can get moved down. So when Pfizer did this, they originally started with 16 and above. They then did a group of 12 to 15-year-olds. They're now doing kids down to as low as 2, but you have to get enough people signed up in that group and look at the data. So I think it's probably not going to be until the fall at the earliest that we have vaccine available for the younger kids. But kids less than 10, even though they get the disease a fair amount, don't seem to spread it that much. You seem to start really spreading this when you hit puberty.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer for when we get back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. On tomorrow's program, State Representative Gary Leith will be on Inside Douglas County. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us, our weekly in-depth look at a lot of topics related to COVID-19. We were just talking about the local cases, and Dr. Bob, I notice statewide, it seems like the death rate is dropping in Oregon, but still a lot of cases.
So still in Oregon, we've had a lot of cases and a lot of hospitalizations, but the death rate is down because, again, most of the people getting this are younger people who, even if they get sick and wind up in the ICU, are still much more likely to survive than older people.
And are there any particular areas in the state where you might have a special concern?
Well, the two areas in the state that are really struggling are Deschutes County and Klamath County. So when we talk about the number of cases, usually the number of cases per 100,000 per day is the number. So we're running around 8 or 9. In those two areas, we're over 30 cases per 100,000 per day and have been for a while. So they're really struggling in those two areas.
Now, I would imagine a lot of these are maybe tied to outbreaks.
They are tied to outbreaks, and they've had a number of workplace outbreaks, a number of social outbreaks in both of those areas that have really driven the disease.
Looking around the U.S. right now, what states are not doing well currently when it comes to COVID-19?
Well, the only states right now that have an above-average amount of disease are Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, and Florida. But all the other states seem to be doing reasonably well, and that, I think, is related to the increasing number of people who are vaccinated.
Now, I don't know, because this is there's so many moving parts to all of this right now, if you could even keep track, but are there certain areas of the U.S. that show a much higher level of vaccination, or does it really vary a lot?
So the level of vaccination in the country varies tremendously. So if you look at some of the places in the East, they have vaccination rates over 50%. And then if you look at some places in the South, it's less than 20% or less than 30%. So that there is a very wide range around the country.
And is that just due to state's ability to roll out vaccine, or are there other factors in play?
Well, it is a little hard to know. Some of it is vaccine availability, but really most of it, we think, is related to vaccine acceptance. So in places where acceptance is high, there's a lot of people vaccinated. Where acceptance is low, you have lower levels of vaccine. So it really does seem to vary with vaccine acceptance.
And I have heard from folks around the New York area that the percentage of people vaccinated there is so high. And one report I heard indicated they thought it was really due to the fact that people there had seen just how bad things got in the New York area last spring and were much more likely to get vaccinated having seen that.
Well, New York has a very low level of disease right now, related in part to the high amount of natural disease they had last spring, and then to a very high level of vaccination. So New York City at this point is one of the lower places in the country in terms of the amount of disease, and that's a great thing. But then there's some states that are very low. For example, Georgia overall is quite low. But then when you get to places like New Mexico, vaccination rates are high. So it varies related to the way this was rolled out in different areas and the amount of vaccine acceptance.
We've heard about India. Give us an update on how they're doing, how things are looking there right now on COVID-19.
It seems to be awful. Now, the data is terrible because they've run out of tests, they've run out of hospital beds, and they're not really counting deaths anymore. Even with that, the number of cases and deaths is shocking, hundreds of thousands every single day. And it's indeed worrisome, and especially worrisome because they started with a bad variant, which is the 617, and now they're in the 617.2, which seems to be even more virulent and perhaps more deadly. Now, the good news is all of the variants seem to be reasonably well controlled by the vaccine, and that's the good news. But the concern is that if it spreads so much, especially in such a densely populated area, it could mutate further and become less protected for by the vaccine.
How are the healthcare workers in India faring through all this?
Well, at least the anecdotal reports is they are totally overwhelmed and really struggling. And so my heart goes out to those workers who are working under, must be incredible stress. They run out of oxygen, they run out of medications. That really makes it hard.
What other countries are having a particular issue right now?
South America is struggling, and it's been struggling for many, many months now. So Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, Colombia all have a tremendous amount of disease, and they've had a lot of disease for a long time. You remember they're on the opposite side of the equator, so As we're getting to our summertime, they're getting into their wintertime, but they've had troubles almost continuously over the last year. When we look at the number of cases per 100,000 people per day, Uruguay has led the world for the last two or three weeks.
Talk about new things being learned about the virus. It seems like this, this is an ever-shifting canvas.
Well, this is an ever-shifting canvas. I mean, I'm learning something every day. Who'd have thought that this old dog could learn so many new tricks? But this virus is very unusual. We're beginning to see more and more evidence that it could be spread by aerosols. So aerosols are extremely tiny droplets that can stay in the air for a long time. And that is not surprising because that would explain how, for example, one person at a church in Salem could give it to 74 other people, or one person in a choir practice could give it to almost everybody else at the choir practice. And that would be that in some people, this virus is there in these tiny, tiny, tiny little droplets that can infect people.
And for the variants, that has been one of the more perplexing things here, and that seems to be an ever-increasing issue.
Well, variants happen while the disease is spreading. So if the disease doesn't spread, variants don't happen. And with so much spread in places like Brazil and India, we're really concerned that these are going to mutate more and more and cause even more dangerous variants.
For the local effort, I know you've got a lot of folks right now, 382, either in isolation or quarantine. Remind folks some of the behind the scenes things that go on to help them.
Well, we have a team of case investigators and contact tracers who are helping people who are in quarantine and isolation to help them do well. They're calling, they're bringing them stuff if they need it. And so for many families, it's tough to be in isolation or in quarantine for 2 weeks. Most of us don't have 2 weeks of food hanging out. Many of us have other kinds of things that have to happen in the space of 2 weeks.
And talk about, just for clarification for people, the difference between isolation and quarantine.
So somebody who has the disease is in isolation, typically for 10 days. Somebody who's been exposed to the disease and could get it is in quarantine for 14 days. Now, the exception to quarantine are that people who are fully vaccinated do not need to quarantine. Another good reason to get vaccinated.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, looking at COVID-19. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on.
All right, you take care.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.